All right. If you have your Bible, turn with the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. The book of Genesis, chapter number 2. I want to warn you tonight, the things I'm going to say are not politically correct. But I wouldn't say them if I didn't believe they were biblically correct. Do you realize tonight that there are a lot of things that are thought by mankind that are thought wrong? And all of us have had wrong thoughts and so forth about many things. I want us tonight to look at Genesis chapter number 2. And I'd like to read verses 8 down to verse number 17. Verses number 8 down to verse number 17. And deal with a myriad of subjects tonight, touching on them anyways. In verse number 8, it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that which encompassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt what? Surely die." Okay? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you. We have the privilege tonight to just gather together. Father, I pray you give us open minds, open hearts to the things that are yours. Lord, I pray you teach us. I pray that we'd be willing to receive truth from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. The average thought today, the evolutionists would have us to believe that men in the early days of our existence were hunters and gatherers. They would have us to think that they lived in caves and that they were people who, that's all they could do is go out and find a bush somewhere, gather the berries off of it, and perhaps kill an animal here and there, and so forth. By the way, in the day ye eat thereof shall ye surely die. Death was not introduced until sin came in. That's what brought death. We need to understand that from the Word of God. And so there was not death and dying before sin. And what we find, though, that God did have a profession for man. And the Bible teaches very clearly that man was placed in the garden to what? Tend to it. He was to take care of it. They were to eat of it. In other words, they were farmers. In other words, sometimes used husbandmen. Also, by the way, there is no reason to believe that there were caves for them to live in. You see what he's talking about? I'm not sure that we can prove there were mountains in those days. The Bible tells us that the great deep was broken up at the time of the flood. And at the time of the flood, with the great deep breaking up and the waters coming forth from below the surface and the waters from above, our earth was flooded. And the pressure of that water and the breaking up of the crust of the earth, we believe that that water pushed down in some places and pushed the mountains up in other places. Isn't it interesting that the big mountain ranges are right along the coast? And so we find that God, I believe in the beginning, it tells us that He made the earth and all the land was one. Have you ever looked on a map and looked at the North American continent, South American continent, looked at Africa and looked at Europe, and take the Atlantic Ocean out of it, take those pieces and move them together and they fit? A few years back, scientists finally discovered, they had the theory of it, but they finally discovered, could prove that continental drift had actually happened and that our continents spread apart. It's interesting because the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 10 talks about in the days of Peleg, the earth separated. See, God's had the answers all along. We just got to figure it out, you know, what He said and understand from that. And so we had this big, massive earth space. And we find that I don't believe until the time of the flood did we really have mountains. And so if you don't have mountains and great big hills, you don't have caves to live in. They lived in the Garden of Eden. And there, I believe, they had all the protection they needed from whatever elements there were, because there weren't really elements that were bad. Well, we won't go into that tonight, but there's a lot of things that are mentioned concerning that through the Word of God. We find that it was certainly after the fall of man that the earth travails, and it the Bible talks about it groaning and so forth. By the way, after the fall of man, we find that Adam was to keep on farming. In Genesis chapter 3, we find it tells us there, "Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." What's he telling him? You're still going to farm, but now you're going to have to deal with weeds. Now you're going to have to deal with thorns and thistles. And every farmer knows what that's all about. If you've grown a garden, you know that you have an enemy. It's weeds. And so there's constant tending to it. And so farming became very hard work as compared to what it was originally because of our sin. But nonetheless, I believe that we find that the first occupation was that of farming and using the land. And I stop and think about that. Farming and using the land is very natural, because that's the way God made it to start with. I want to test your thoughts tonight just a little bit, because, you know, a lot of times today we think, well, if we're going to have land the way it's supposed to be in its natural state, why, it's going to have to be wild. But God created the earth for man to what? Inhabit it. God created man here on earth to be in the garden, to tend to it. And He told him to multiply, meaning that eventually they would surround and take over the entire world. God intends for us to use this earth's resources. And to say that all have to go back to the wild is not the way God intended. I don't believe you can make a case of that from the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to advocate the destruction of parks and forests. I'm going to advocate that we take away our game lands and so forth. But those are not more natural than domesticated agriculture, because that's what God put Adam and Eve in the garden, told them to tend to that garden, to take care of the things there. It's good stewardship, by the way, to cut down trees. Did you know that? And to allow new growth while clearing the forest floor of all of its debris. It's been found in the United States that because we prevented that from taking place, that many of the wildfires we have are very, very dangerous, because there's more fuel in the ground than there should be. Nowadays, if you go in the last few years to one of our national forests, you might find that they've gone in and cleaned them up, and you'll find great big stacks of wood and debris that they've gathered up so that the bottom of the floor would be cleaned up. And then they take those and remove those and so forth. Now, it's interesting, too, to me, just as a side note, the U.S. Forest Service is under the Department of Agriculture. That'll teach us something. What are we looking at? God made this thing of farming to be a thing for us to do. We had instructions to address it. God intends for man to make good use of the land. Not to abuse it, but to make good use of it. And by the way, sometimes there's going to be endangered species. But endangered species is not necessarily because of mankind. Now, we ought to be a people who use things properly. We ought not be going and killing rhinoceroses just so we can have their horn and leaving their bodies there and killing dozens and dozens of them. We ought not do the same to elephants. I understand those kinds of things. But at the same time, death and dying now is a part of the problem because of sin. And so we're going to see some things that are going to disappear. Well, what I just want to stop and think about tonight is the natural man, the lost man, the man who does not have a spiritual mind, has some wrong thinking. There's some wrong thinking. One of the wrong thinkings is that we came here, we just evolved. We came out of nothing to be something, to become nothing again. Isn't that interesting? So it's all pointless if we just came from nothing and we have no rules, no logic, nothing whatsoever. And yet, a natural man many times believe that. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And so the natural man, he comes along and he somehow believes that everything from the natural world is better and should be sought out by men. But that's not necessarily true either. Growing underneath my back porch right now is, I wish somebody would go over and pull it up, some poison ivy. I looked last night and I saw it over there. And are you volunteer to go pull it up? And after you get done, wipe your hand, face real good with it, and you'll be so excited what's going to take place later. You know, it has a bad effect upon the body. There's certain things we need to be careful of. We have wasps we need to be careful of. We have poisonous snakes we need to be careful of. There are many things in the natural world that are not necessarily our friends. By the way, do you know that rats kill more people than any other animal? Because they spread disease. Let me do the talking, you do the listening. They spread disease. Matter of fact, I believe they're going to be used of God in the tribulation period to bring pestilence to this world. And you can find that in Revelation. I bring this up to say this. This same crowd that calls for the natural in all of these things is also many times very unnatural in other areas. For instance, the promotion of homosexuality. Listen to what the Word of God says. The book of Romans chapter 1 verse 27. And by the way, because I bring this, does not mean that I do not love folks who are claim to be homosexual. By the way, I don't believe you're born that way. I think it's a choice. You cannot prove to me you're born that way. The promotion of homosexualism is many times done by folks who want all the natural stuff. And yet the Bible says, likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. God says it's an error to believe that. And it's contrary to His will. God did not make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve. The Bible says in the book of Mark, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they that are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's the way God intended it. Now, folks like myself who take a biblical stand many times are perceived as hateful. But listen to me very carefully. Our desire is twofold. Number one, that those who are in a wrong kind of lifestyle, and it doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle it is, they might be saved from their sin like everybody needs to be. I need to be saved from my sin. All of us need the salvation that God has. But I also have another desire, especially for these people, they might choose a lifestyle that will allow them to do what God said, and that is to multiply as God intends through marriage and childbirth. That's God's intended way. It doesn't happen in the other direction. But many of these folks who promote the natural also, they're going to promote this, which is very unnatural, but they also promote abortion. But by the way, isn't childbirth a very natural process? That abortion interrupts and robs a person of life? Some people say, well, listen, we don't know exactly when a fetus becomes a person. Well, I think we can agree that they do become a person. That little embryo, those cells that they've joined together at conception, yes, they become a person. 9 months of gestation and a person is born. Is that not true? That takes place. And any time that process is interrupted because of man's intervention, that is stopping that natural process that God has made. And we can argue about some of those other things, all we want to. But God has made that a very natural thing. It's interesting that the crowd who wants to stop us from planting corn in a field because there needs to be a rat out there that has his home there, wants to stop the natural process of men and women and babies being born. Well, I say that to say this. Spiritual men ought to have the right kind of thinking. It's based on the Bible and real science. That which is observable, not speculation. Let me take you back for a moment. Evolution is speculation. It's never been observed. Never. It's never been shown to take place. And some will argue and they will say, well, this looks so much like this and this is a higher form. By the way, how do we know it's a higher form? But we think so. And we look at these things. Now, I must admit, I have met a few people that I think might have been related to monkeys. I'm just teasing. But we're not. God made man, and the Bible tells us, in His own image. Not in the image of a monkey. And God has given to us the ability to make the right kind of thinking if we will have the spiritual mind. The Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He can make the right kind of judgments. I say all these things really to come down to a couple of things. If you're saved tonight and you're a Christian, do not be intimidated by a world of so-called experts. Don't be intimidated by people who want to tell you things that are simply not true. The Bible speaks of science falsely so-called. Science is that which is observable. And so many things are placed upon us that are not observable. And yet they're taunted as science. Remember, the theory of evolution is a theory. Let me just take a little parenthesis right here, right now. There have been many, many debates taking place between creationists and evolutionists. Do you know who wins the debates with facts? The creationists, hands down, time after time after time. The facts are there. Because that's the way God did it. And there's too much that's available. I'm not going to go into those things. I've studied many of them. But Christian, do not be intimidated by a world of so-called experts. My pastor for 3 years was a man named Tom Malone. Tom Malone held a doctorate in a number of areas. Very intelligent man, considered by literally thousands of people to be one of the best pulpiteers in America during his time. He's with the Lord now. And though he was a doctor, he said this. And though he was an expert, he said this. He said, remember that X is an unknown quantity and a spurt is any old drip. Just put it together. See? And what he was trying to say is that sometimes we look at the so-called experts and they're not really. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow night. I have an appointment with a doctor. And this is one thing I've learned. In all of these years, I have learned that the method that he may do for me today may not be still feasible in 5 years. that which was practiced 20 years ago now sometimes is ridiculed as being exactly the opposite of what was right. And yet, we look and we say they're experts. I had a pharmacist one time tell me, remember, they're practicing medicine. I'm not putting doctors down. Please don't misunderstand. I'm going to go see one tomorrow. I'm looking for his help. But God is the one who knows it all. God made it. Amen? And what they know today may be obsolete several years from now. How many remember when eggs were bad for you? How many remember when butter was bad for you? And you're supposed to eat oleomargarine, which is nothing more than glorified plastic. I'm serious can be. And all of these kinds of things, well, we had to learn through it. I'm saying that to say this. If you're a saved child of God, we need to seek the Spirit of God in making our decisions. And not be intimidated by a world that wants to tell us differently. You kids in school, you're going to face some things that are contrary to the Word of God. I did, you will. I sat in a zoology class. The year was 1965. The professor stood in front. There was nearly 90 young people sitting there in that class. And with a taunt in his voice, he said, "How many of you do not believe in evolution?" By the way, did you catch the term, believe in? I wanted to raise my hand. I wasn't even saved at the time, but I was scared too. I was intimidated. I wish I was in that class again. We'd have some fun. But we have the wonderful privilege to have the Word of God and the Spirit of God that can lead us. Don't be intimidated by those things. Secondly, tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, there's a lot of things out here that you just, what is this all about? And if you were like me, it's like, what's the big purpose in life? Why am I here? What's it all about? The Bible makes it very clear. God has placed us here to bring glory to Him. To bring honor to Him. And what's amazing I have discovered is that when we come to know Christ as our Savior and we give honor to Him, it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever experienced. When I'm selfish and self-centered, I find out that many people are against me and I just can't run things the way I want them to be run. But when I leave it to God and just give Him the glory, it's a relaxing, wonderful position to be in. We have that privilege. If you don't know Christ, your Savior, you need Him. You need Him to develop in you a spiritual mind to help you to see things from God's viewpoint rather than from a worldly viewpoint. That's the need of an hour. But I hope, Christian, tonight you can understand you don't need to allow the world to intimidate you. Stand for what you believe in. You might not understand everything. You may not have the education of another, but don't be intimidated. There's some things you know, stand true to it. Amen? And bless the Lord through it. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You tonight for this, Your Word. Thank You for revealing to us this tremendous occupation. Lord, the privilege that You have given to man to take care of this earth and to allow it to produce for us. And Lord, I pray that You just help us to have an understanding that there are so many things that are unnatural that we've come to accept. But they're not Your way. And Lord, what they reveal to us is our sinful ways. Lord, we're all guilty. And Lord, I pray that through it we might realize our need of the Savior and call upon Him. I pray, Lord, that You just deal with each of us in this area and bless as we go our separate ways tonight. And we give You praise and thanks in Christ's name. Amen.